You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And usually on a Thursday, we speak to Viv Govender and David Shapiro. Viv is lying low at the moment with some flu. So David and I will sally forth, as they say. David, good afternoon. I messaged you, when was it, on yesterday evening and said, have you seen the crowd at Borussia Dortmund against PSG?
Yes.
UEFA Champions League semi-final. And you said, no, you're listening to the Fed. And I thought, well, your priority is in the right. That's probably why you're successful and I'm not. But anyway. What did Chairman Powell say?
Well, I keep switching between both. You know, I thought, well, if I hear something interesting, I'll listen to Powell. But I was more interested in the game than what Powell had to say. Because I try to listen attentively. I don't think there was any change. I think it's been widely covered by the media. What I did pick up, though, in after discussion.
Yes.
Not the interviews and that you're getting some analysts and high positions getting a little frustrated, you know, almost mocking Powell and saying, oh, you know, data dependent. In other words, reacts to what's in front of him rather than not being proactive. And I think why they're saying that, there is a bit of a concern that, number one, you know, we don't understand inflation. If I could just put it into my own words, because I'm trying to interpret the way I heard it. But, you know, after the pandemic, when you had everything disrupted, it's going to take time for that to settle down. And we haven't quite got on top of it. And even the war and all the other moves by states and nations and that in terms of repositioning their economy. So I think there was a bit of frustration saying, look, we're not going to get that 2% because there's certain things within the inflation basket that are not really affected by rates.
Yes,
you know, they're
exactly.
Affected by other things. You know what I'm trying to get at? So
yes.
I think they're saying the terminal rate, the rate at which you'll stop will be kind of not 2%, but rather 3, 3.5, 4 or thereabouts, you know, higher than we are. But I think what they are, what everybody's edgy about is a concern that, growth is going to suffer. And I think there's a view that maybe the Fed should also start focusing on growth. So, you know, I just got frustration. I don't think it makes any difference, but there is a little bit of edginess saying, look, we've got to do something about the economy. You don't want it to collapse and then try and pick, you know, or you don't want it to fall over and then try to pick it up there. So I think, yeah, anyway, listen, I'm not an economist. It's, you know, I would prefer to watch the football than listen to people firing questions at Chairman Powell.
Do you think then that when it comes to the relationship between the Fed and the economy and the Fed and the markets, from what you're saying is, you said in your words, he's not being proactive. Does that mean that the tail is wagging the dog rather than the other way around?
I think that's what they were insinuating and hinting. You know, data dependent was the word that the discussion. He's too data dependent. So I think that one's got to try and project what's going forward and have some kind of foresight. And I think that's where I feel a little bit of edginess is coming in and maybe frustration because, anyway.
We had inflation coming out this week from the United States of America or recently up at 3.5%, which is still so much better than it was. But if you strip out the volatile elements and you look at the core, did you look at the figures and see what the core inflation was compared to the headline data?
Look, I don't understand those numbers. I don't get a grip of them, you know, because they've got such strange definitions on the way that they actually calculate the amount. And it's so widespread that it's almost difficult to understand. And can you just imagine the nation? I mean, it's spread from literally from the Pacific to the Atlantic, you know. So, so many different communities. I never know how they get to one figure and in decimal points. They come down to decimal points that can decide whether markets go up or markets go down. You know, it's just very, Very odd.
At least one thing. What I'm trying to say is,
you've got rent in San Diego and rent in New York, and I mean, they're I don't know how many thousand miles apart. You know, I'm saying, why? Yeah, you know, how do you balance that out? Sorry if I'm a bit frustrated. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Try Tennessee versus Alaska, for example, as well, or Tennessee versus Alabama. It's so different. It's like a giant European Union, the America, and so many people. You say, "Have you been to America?" And you say, "Yes." That doesn't mean anything. Maybe you've been to New York. That's not America. Maybe you've been to Wyoming. That's not America either. So it's very strange. Anyway, so you've made some good points there. One of the good things he did say, or rather didn't say, was he sort of hinted that the next move will not be up. Did you get that sense as well?
Yes. I think they know that they'll keep rates at these levels, but there won't be this call to raise rates. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the economy is already shaking in certain areas. They're aware of it. The employment market is very strong, and now everybody's saying, let's delay and see what kind of job number comes out on Friday, tomorrow, and how that's going to sway markets. So, Lindsay, here you are, me and you, trying to work out the world's economic issues. You know, I'm not sure we're well equipped to actually give a sound opinion.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah, that's the end of our podcasts, David.
What I'm trying to say is it's such a complicated.
It is.
It's so complicated, yeah.
And the thing is that you think that these people think they know much more than we do, or they've come across as though they do, but nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nah. I mean, obviously the chair of the Federal Reserve will know what the trends are coming up to the next consumer price inflation release. But he's being fed the information, but he doesn't know what's going on. How can he know what a housewife in one of the southern states is doing at Walmart versus, again, I use Alaska, as somebody who's going down the shops in whatever the capital is.
That's my point. I prefer to look at corporate results.
Yes, you do.
You know, that gives me some indication of the product they're producing, where they're selling it, how much they're selling it for, you know, what the difference is in different geographies. So I think I get a much better feel for markets than, you know, by doing that. And it still remains the area that I continue to focus on. I enjoy going through results and just looking at the businesses that are, you know, coming out on top. There are hundreds of good businesses in the world, I would say, in the US as well. And it's nice to be able to try and choose them and find those companies that you like and so on. But to try and unravel monetary policies and inflation and I don't know.
Okay, well let's stick with companies in your comfort zone, which is excellent because that is what drives markets. Corporate results drive markets. They've got some macro in there, of course, but on the other hand, you can have the best macro in the world. If the companies aren't doing well, then the stock market suffers. And I saw the Amazon results yesterday, or was it Tuesday night? I can't remember. I sort of skimmed through them. The scale of that company is mind-boggling.
I know. It's absolutely enormous. And the amount of money that they make, as you say, it's quite unique. And they continue to make money, you know, and they continue to attract business. And I think that's why I'm so attracted to them. And you know, they really have to mess up. They really have to do something stupid to mess up with that kind of reach and, you know, that business. But I think what does stand out, and it's come through in both the other companies, Microsoft and Alphabet, is just how much money is being spent on gearing up call centers. I always call them call centers, data centers, you know, for AI. And I'm a convert. You know, I, in my own small way, I make extensive use of of AI, and you know, I can't tell you how it helps me, and I can't tell you how much time I save using it as a research instrument. You know, and really, it's I found it a big help to things that I do. Yesterday, I was asking a question on Russia's the 1990, the fall of communism, and what the impact was on world markets. Now, we're going back to 1990. So I said, at the time, and just as I touch the button, ask the question, out comes the answer. It doesn't say to me, I'll get back to you. You know what I mean? I'll give you a phone call later. And there were beautifully set out, just exposing. Of course, you've got to check what came out. But the answers were clear and profound, it just helped me in an article that I was writing to clarify one or two things, because I was a bit nervous that I might be making statements that I couldn't corroborate. And it just helps, so wonderful.
Is that your Business Day article you're talking about?
Yeah.
Will we see that tomorrow?
Yeah. So, Good. Listen, I battled over it, but I think the point that I was trying to make was, was the how we've never really recovered from the loss of the gold market, and that included Anglos. I tried to draw conclusion and say, at their height, they reached their heights when they were a gold producer, and never really were able to emulate or do that. And also remember, De Beers was one of the big areas of the market. They controlled diamond supply through the central selling organization. It was a cartel, but what they tried to do is they would go around the world influencing diamond producers to join the CSO in order to control diamonds, so that in bad times they would hold back supply, in good times let go. And then came Russia in 1990, which really upset things, because they wanted to do their own selling. They were big producers and had massive reserves of diamonds. So
yes.
So Anglos never really got back to where they were. And today they're half the size of Rio, significantly lower than Glencore, and much, much lower than BHP.
Yes, I had a chat about this yesterday with who I consider the finest resources stocks analyst in the world, for the ones that I speak to anyway, but he really, really erudite. In fact, he does this sort of thing. He'll say, right, I'm flying, Lindsay, I won't be able to speak to you in the near future, in case you want to follow up on this interview, because I'm flying to Entebbe to see a mine in Uganda, then I'm going off to the DRC. So he's paid to go on this, not paid, but all expenses spared, no expenses spared trip to Africa in a private jet. Then he goes to the DRC, and then after that he goes to Tanzania. So, and he was saying, it is a fascinating story. You can listen to the podcast; it's online now. But it's all about copper. There's only one thing that they want. And I said, are there other copper companies that could, in case the deal falls through, that BHP could look at? He said, yes, but this is the one that they really want, Chile and Peru, etc. Yeah. And it's really changed the dynamic. And I also asked him if this changes their strategy. He said, well, we have to adjust to this. And we've been long Anglos the whole time, so we're very happy. We've been overweight, in fact, and because of the copper element. But there's lots going on. If this deal does go through, it'll change everything for resources investors, I think.
Oh yeah, look, it will be the end of Anglos.
Yes, of course.
Anglos won't exist anymore, because what will happen is Anglo shareholders will receive Kumba, and they'll receive Anglo Platts. If they've got one Anglos, they might receive a basket of those. So and those companies continue to operate, but they can't. The whole history, Anglos and all the other mining houses, they were actually mining finance houses. They raised the money. And if they found a deposit in the Orange Free State, a good gold mine, they had to raise masses of money.
Yes.
And they would tap all their resources, and obviously put a good project together, but they couldn't finance it themselves. They arranged the finance for these, ended up, of course, with a certain percentage and that. But it's quite a fascinating history to see how mines are developed, because it takes so long for them to eventually produce. So you need loads and loads of money. But that's why I'm saying Anglos is a weakened, it's still a very good company, but very weak relative to probably its peers.
Yeah, so I think it's deliberately be downsizing in order to make it a bite-sized chunk for people like BHP. I've always thought that. Just talking about money being spent and the scale of the companies that you love, the tech companies. We spoke about Amazon. Mm. Look at Microsoft. The name of the CEO always escapes me, but he was on television this morning on a BBC business broadcast.
Jesse, talking Stacey.
Yes. And he was in Southeast Asia. And I saw the interview, and he was casually talking to this country. Was it Indonesia or the Philippines? I think Indonesia. Anyway, doesn't matter. He said, well, we're investing $2.2 billion into our operation here and focusing on AI. And I thought, when you and I started in the business, you slightly before me, $2.2 billion would be an inconceivable amount of money.
Dollars, John. No, but that's nothing for them. I mean, you know, if you look at the amount of cash that they generate, what I always look at, and that's why I remain positive on the tech giants, and it's something that I look at every business.
Yes,
is number one. You know, when you talk about cash generation, yes, there's a lot to it, because when you generate huge amounts of cash, it allows you, number one, to take that cash and reinvest it in furthering or maintaining your business, maintaining your brand, and also maintaining your lead. And the amount, if you add up, I haven't got their number in front of me, but if you look at what Meta, Amazon, Alphabet, and Microsoft spend on research and development, it's an astronomical amount. Now, you've got to consider that they don't spend on putting up buildings. They spend on people. You know, so they are employing the best people that you can get, the best engineers and so on, because that's where it comes. It's really the skills and brain power that they employ to develop new products and so on. You know, what is AI? Yeah, it's a chip, but a chip is there is a certain cost of manufacturing a chip, but at the end of the way, it's the way that people use it. So it's a staggering amount of money that these companies generate, far greater than I think anything in the U.S. history. And that's why they remain the big businesses. And it's very hard to dislodge them, and it's very hard to dislodge the S&P, you know, the U.S. markets.
Yes.
So sure. I'm trying to look while I was talking to you at some of the R&D and how much they do spend. But
while you're doing that, I know you're pressed for time. So I'll run through a few numbers here. A dollar rand, 1862. British pound against the rand, 23.26. And the euro rand is 107. British pound against the US dollar is 124.90. Now, onto commodities, where we've got the gold price, 2302, just clinging on to that 2300 mark. So it's fallen over $100 in the last 2 weeks. But that's understandable, because it really did have its day in the sun, or several days in the sun. So it's got to cool down a bit with some after sun lotion. The platinum is $16 higher, but nothing consequential there, and 965. Palladium down 5 to 943. If we look at the energy sector,
palladium is now below platinum. Right?
Yes, it's interesting. The basket keeps on switching. And again, I remember a few months ago, I said I'm trying to get someone who's a PGM expert to say, right, let's look back at what platinum, palladium, and rhodium did, you know, 20 years ago compared to what it did now, and who's buying it, and why are they buying it, and what are the prospects? Nobody. I think they're a bit scared, actually, because it's quite a complex topic. But it is amazing how that basket, the demand and supply of that basket changes.
Remember, it was, I think, $2,800, $3,000 an ounce palladium not too long ago. And platinum was remaining, you know, at the 1,000 rand mark. And this is traditionally, this is where it's always been. Palladium has always been cheaper than platinum. So anyway, I point that out. It's finally given up its premium.
Yes, it certainly has, with a vengeance as well. Okay, crude oil, West Texas, $78.72, down a third. Brent, essentially unchanged, at $83.44. Natural gas prices have surged again. This thing is all over the place, up 4.3% today. And copper, the one that we're watching because of the Anglo story, watching closer than normal, down 1%. Wheat continues to fall, down 3.25%.
What is copper? What is the...
$4.50 per... pound.
Are you looking at that far? Looking at the $10,000.
Yeah, the LME, the London Metal Exchange price, doesn't come up on my CERB screen, so you'll have to look at that one. But anyway, it's
that's why I'm asking you.
I'll get a screen, and the next time we speak, I'll have it up there. S&P is up nearly 0.5% now, close to its highs. The S&P futures for June, 5,071. 10-year Treasury yield, 4.62%, not really affected at all by Mr. Powell. South African 10-year, it's regained the number 10 rather than the number 11, which it was at the beginning of the week, 10.90%, and Bitcoin's had a rough ride. It's down, it's up actually 4%, but it was 63,000 on Friday. It's now 59,000 per coin. David, any corporate news out of South Africa? Life Healthcare, I saw.
I'm surprised. I see the share price is down about 6.5% almost. And yet, when I looked at those results, they were pretty okay. You know, there's nothing that I read there. I must admit, you know, there were lots of words on a page, and you go through it quite fast looking for something. You know, I didn't digest it but you know, there was nothing that scared me. They reckon the results. You know, remember they've sold off that diagnostic business and paid out a dividend. But anyway, I don't know why. I'm not sure why the share was under such pressure today.
Okay, we'll come to that in a second. I'm going to expose my stupidity now. What is Power? It's a company called Power, which is on my top five major moves on my screen. I've never heard of Power before. Has someone changed the name? It just says Power, up 4.1%.
Power?
Power, yeah. You don't know either. Yeah.
Oh, wait, I've got to look at this one.
Yeah, have a look at that one. While you're looking it up.
Yeah,
I mean, exactly. Suddenly, I think, hello, I should know this. Spar up 3.5%, Hammerson up 3.1%, Telkom up 3.1% as well, and Naspers was a 2.6% gainer. On the downside, Karoo down 7%, Life Healthcare, the aforementioned, nearly 7% weaker, 6.9%, Oceana down 4%, Advertech 4.1 in the red, and Sasol down 4%. I think the CFO has resigned.
I don't know the story there. You know, who knows what prompted it? But you know, we're at another recent low again. I don't want to say all time low because that's not right. But I mean, this company is just losing, you know, just losing altitude every day. A lot of issues around it, and I don't know whether there are issues around the resignation of the CFO. He's only been there for a year or so.
Yeah.
So why I mention it, because it did have some impact on the share price. A lot of downers today.
It's usually health reasons, isn't it? Or the fact that he's not particularly content with what the company, the path that the company is taking, or the company is not particularly enamored with him or her. So
we don't know. No, and also, you know, you never, the investor relations never tell the truth. It's always a watered down, sanitized.
Yes.
Is a sanitized statement. Oh, thank you very much for your service. You've been very good. Yeah. You know, who knows? He might have been useless. I don't want to shame. I don't know the man.
I'm sure he's a fine fellow. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what happened? Couldn't he do the work? Was it something he saw? Was he resigned? You know, so eventually you've got to start digging for the story instead of them coming out with like the National Enquirer and giving us proper headlines. You know?
Yes, he was seen. He was seen on a private jet with Stormy Daniels or something.
So we have to dig for it.
Okay, and you dig.
I couldn't care less. You know, that's what I'm saying. There might not be anything.
Naspers was up 2.6%. That was a good mover today as well. David, you're nearly at your limit of time here. So give us the closing JSE indices, please.
Yeah, well, the All Share ended down, flat, down 29 points, which in percentage terms is minus 0.04%. Not much happening. The miners came under a bit of pressure. Lindsay, we've seen pressure on gold and platinum shares and most of the miners, you know, as commodity prices lose steam. So miners have been under quite a bit of pressure. There wasn't much. Banks were slightly up, you know, and industrials also a little better, but nothing really. Volumes just over 20 billion. Couldn't find any. Yeah, the ones that you mentioned, I think, have been the major features, but it's just one of those kind of days.
Okay, brilliant. David, off you go. Drive safely.
Thank you.
We will speak again on Monday. That was a 5 o'clock shadow.
I will be in Australia on Monday. I won't be here for the next 2 weeks.
When do you sit down and actually do? Why do you keep on doing this? You've only just come back from America.
Don't tell me. I'm expecting my 8th grandchild. I have to be there.
Well, you've had 7. I mean, the 8th, just say, oh, he's nice. Or
I'm going to miss the last 3 games, Lindsay. I can't see them.
Why can't you see them?
I can't see them. Because I won't be here, and I'm in Australia, which is 8 hours ahead.
You've got to make
so it. So no one wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning. You know?
What do you mean nobody wakes up? When the Ashes series is on in Australia, I'm up at 2 o'clock every morning. So should you be? Okay. All right. So we're not going to be speaking for a couple of weeks.
No, but I'll speak to you from Australia. I'll message you. Yep.
Yes, please do. We'll have a safe trip there and a safe drive tonight. The 5 o'clock shadow was populated by David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.